this morning, I'm going to be talking to you today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 15, 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 15. And I was praying because of the coronavirus and all of the things that we're seeing on the media and all the things that we're seeing that are showing up around the world, and the number of people who have or have been infected with the COVID-19 virus, but also the number of people that are impacted who don't have it, whose lives are absolutely being shifted. So many churches I've contacted pastors and asked them, what are they doing? And many of the smaller churches, they aren't ready technically. And so they've had to close their doors. There are churches that are not meeting this week or until the 1st of April at least. We've canceled Easter services. So many things that we can talk about, like what's going wrong. And if you're not careful, you know, you'll watch the TVs, you'll listen to the news, you'll see the updates on your Facebook, and you'll get really afraid. And I don't think that, you know, the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And so I wanted to know, God, what are you saying to the church in the middle of this? And so that has been my prayer all week long, along with juggling, you know, making decisions about what do we do? Do we continue? Do we not? And we went from in Santa Clara County, I'm so excited. We were leading the nation in how we responded to this, partly because we had a large outbreak here in Santa Clara County. But we started with canceling events of 1,000. And we were like, oh, that's Easter. Easter's gone because we get 2,000 people for Easter. Then we started looking at our anniversary celebration, which was scheduled. They dropped that down from 1,000 to 100, which meant our anniversary celebration was canceled. Then they said any groups of 35 to 100, we encourage you to cancel. So we were like, oh, no, that means church. And so we were kind of sitting back like every day trying to figure this out. But I praise the Lord because God was faithful. We were able to stay on top of it. We were able to share information through email, through our Facebook group. And I'm so grateful for the technology that exists now so that we can get this information out. Amen. All right. So I gave you enough time because Chronicles ain't like in the beginning of the Bible. It's like somewhere in the early middle. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 15. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, would you do me a favor? Hold those high in the air. I'm not going to hold mine up because I have a laptop. It starts to fall. I don't want to break. Hold those high up in the air. We're going to say our Bible affirmation today because I believe God has a word, not just for the people in this room, but for those of you that are watching online. If you haven't already shared with us where you're coming from, go ahead and pop that in the comment section. We would love to know where you're watching from today. And we are excited. And also, if you're watching online, the cool part is if you're online, you can talk back to us, but you can't do that in church. Don't be talking back in church, people. But if you're online, you can talk back by making comments. You can say amen. You can say yes. You can say I didn't understand. Put whatever you want to put in the comment section. We actually have someone who's monitoring those comments today. That's Miss Eliana. She is our online pastor for today. So she's working that for us. So thank you so much. All right, let's go. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, let us read together. We're going to be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words, if you're in the sanctuary, will appear on your screen. And if you're at home, just read whatever version you got. We can't hear you no way. We like to do that so we don't sound like we all like mumble and jumble. All right, let's read this together. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me and fill this room with power and might and conviction. Fill every person that's watching online. Heavenly Father, as I deliver this message, I pray that you would breathe hope, that you would breathe life, that you would breathe trust, oh God, that you would remove fear and bring an increase in faith. Lord, I pray that you would deliver deliver this message with power and that you would move me aside in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. All right. I also want to say this. If you are watching at home, I encourage people to treat it like they are literally at church. You know, gather your family together. And I'm telling you guys who are here this week, I'm telling you this because I'm not sure. It is a day-by-day thing whether we'll be able to meet again. We're going to have service. Our worship team is committed to showing up. I'm committed to showing up, preaching and videotaping this and getting it out. But you may have to be at home. If you are at home now or if you will be at home in the near future watching our live stream, I encourage you to treat this like you are going to church. You know, the first church met in house churches. So get everybody in your family, gather around, put on your computer. If you know how to screenshot it or you know, send it through your Apple TV to your TV screen, put it up. But share and get together and treat it like it's a normal service. Because if we get casual in our walk with God, casual in our worship, casual in our approach, you know, it's a slippery slide back to backsliding away from the Lord. So that's why the Bible says don't mistake this of gathering of yourselves together. Get your neighbors who you ain't scared got no virus and bring them to your house. Get your family members, but bring them all together and watch the video. All right, so my title of my message today is A Biblical Response to a Global Pandemic. A Biblical Response to a Global Pandemic. A pandemic, for those of you who don't know, is the worldwide spread of a new disease, according to the World Health Organization. So far, and this number is jumping rapidly, so this was as of midnight last night, 142,000 cases globally of the COVID-19 virus have been found in over 114 countries. And that number is constantly changing. And so because of that, the World Health Organization declared this a global pandemic. That word brings fear in and of itself. I mean, we immediately start to think, oh my gosh, we're all gonna die. What's gonna happen? How many of y'all feeling a little bit like this feels a little apocalyptic? I mean, just go to the grocery store and try to get some toilet paper. It feels like apocalyptic. You're like, ain't no toilet paper. And it's so funny because everybody's running to get toilet paper. We're like, what you need toilet paper for? Just wash your hands. The soap is still on the shelves, but the toilet paper is gone. I don't understand. But it's because everybody goes into hoard mode. Everybody goes into take care of myself mode. And we have countries like Italy that have locked down. And as of yesterday, Spain and France have went on lockdown. And I was praying all week long, Father God, what are you saying now to the church? And what are you saying to the nations in light of this global pandemic? And I want to tell you that God gave me four things that he spoke to me. And then when he gave me these four things, he took me directly to scripture to prove to me that those four things were his word. Now, there are times when you hear God speak to you and you write stuff down and you go, okay, God spoke to me. But if you don't see it in scripture, it's hard to confirm if that's really God. Well, God showed me, not only did he speak this word to me, but he showed it to me in scripture. And so I want to tell you that I truly believe this is a word from the Lord this morning in light of this global pandemic. So I'm going to jump right in it. The verse is based on 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 15. And the first of the four things I want to tell you is this. God is not surprised, so don't be afraid. God is not surprised, so don't be afraid. I'm going to say that again. God is not surprised by this global pandemic. This is not something that took God off his feet. It did not rock God. God wasn't like, oh my God, don't know what to do. God wasn't like, I never saw this coming. God wasn't sitting back going, ooh, we all gonna go to bed. God did not see that. And so God says, since I am not surprised by this, you shouldn't be afraid. God is not caught off guard by what's happening. In fact, this pandemic and others like it have been prophesied in the Bible. And I'm going to show it to you based on this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. That's our focal passage. The first word says when. Somebody say when. The Bible doesn't say if. The Bible doesn't say I might do this. But he says, when I shut up heaven and when there is no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour the land, or when I send a pestilence among my people. In other words, God is like, I already knew this was going to happen, which is why I told you when this happened, not if this happens. God's not shaking in his boots about this. God understood that these things were going to come to pass. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He is wisdom almighty. He is the God of our past, our present, and our future. He has walked out where we're going to go. He knows how this is going to turn out. He knows how it's going to work out. He knows how it's going to end up. He knows the beginning from the end. God already sees where this is going. So why are we shaking in our boots? If we trust in a God like this, we shouldn't worry. When? Now, I want to tell you, we all three of these things that he mentions here are happening right now. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain. How many of you know we've been in drought in the last few years? We are not producing enough water globally, and many experts believe it is because of climate change. We're in a drought. Okay, you don't like the next one. You don't like that one. That's why your water bill is so high, by the way, because we're in a drought. Watch this. Or when I command the locusts to devour the land. If you've been paying attention, unfortunately, this is not getting a whole lot of news because COVID-19 is happening. But if you're paying attention, hundreds of billions of locusts are swarming through parts of East Africa and South Asia in the worst infestation for over a quarter of a century, threatening crops and livelihoods everywhere. Locusts are not uncommon. But massive swarms of locusts are uncommon. Why is this such a problem? Because these locusts, which eat their own body weight in food every day, are breeding so fast that they could grow 400 times what they are now just by June of this year. On our 21 Days of Prayer Facebook group, we have people who are in Africa all over the world, and we made a post and asked to be praying about the locust situation. And I asked people who are in Africa, tell us what it's like. Tell us how we can pray. Tell us where you're from. We had people from Uganda, from Kenya, and one of our Facebook community online users from Kenya said, it's so bad that it's said here that 20 swarms flying at any given time, each of those 20 swarms contain 8 million locusts within them. And he said, the amount of food destroyed per day is enough to feed 30,000 people from our tribe. The amount of food that's gone in one day would feed 30,000 people. This is a serious issue. And then the Bible says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or when I command the locusts to devour land, or when I send pestilence among my people. Pestilence is a fatal epidemic disease, such as we are experiencing now with the coronavirus. God is not shocked. God knew today, March 15th, 2020, was going to come and all of these things were going to be in existence. They're all prophesied. As a matter of fact, Luke 21:8-11, Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But watch this. Jesus tells you what's going to happen. But when you hear of wars and commotions, how many of y'all have heard of wars? How many of y'all heard about all this stuff that's happening worldwide? The Bible says, do not be terrified. Do you know that's one of the phrases Jesus uses the most? Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear. God didn't want us scared. For these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. Y'all got to understand, Jesus is trying to prepare us to say, this is what you're looking out for. But you need to know the end isn't coming immediately. Verse 10, he says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing countries fighting all the time. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines. And here's that word, pestilence, which is the diseases. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. God knew this day was coming. But his word to us was, do not be afraid. God is not shocked, he is not scared, and neither should we be. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 42:8-9, the Lord says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. I want you to see this. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God is like, I will tell you what's about to happen if you listen to me. So don't be afraid. Don't get scared. I know that the world wants you freaking out right now, but calm down. Check yourself. God already saw this coming. God already has a plan. God already has a purpose. Why is this important? For several reasons. The first is, this is probably the only one I got. God is doing this because he wants to demonstrate that he really is God. Because everybody wants to know, well, why is this disease coming? God, how come you got to do it this way? You know why? Because we're not listening. Globally, all over the world, we are not listening to God's voice anymore. You know what we do? We do what we want to do. God says, so let me get your attention. Let me show you how he does it. Isaiah 45:21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Watch this. Who has told it from that time? God is like, who told you what's about to happen? Have not I, the Lord, told you this is about to happen? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. God says, you're going to know I'm God because I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. And because I prophesied it to you, you're going to look back and say, God said it. Therefore, I know God is real. Some of us don't realize God is real. And I'm talking about not just those of us in here, those of us who are watching online, our neighbors, our friends. We don't realize God is real. But let me tell you how you know God is real. One little way is when God says something's going to happen and it happens. Can you see in scripture that God said this time was going to happen? This Bible was written over 2,000 years ago, 3,000 in some parts. And yet it is still proving to be true today. God wants the world to know that he is God, and he tells us what is yet to come so that we can clearly see that he is God and he is God alone. Could anybody ever predict anything like this happening thousands of years ago? Maybe they predicted it 6 months ago, but not thousands of years ago. Critical droughts, locusts, and a global pandemic. But here's what you need to know, and you need to take comfort. Even though God knew it was going to happen, God still has a promise for us. And every promise that God has given us, COVID-19 isn't wiping it away. Every promise that God spoke to you about your family, every promise God spoke to you about your future, every promise God spoke to you about your healing, it is not going away because some virus showed up. How do I know that? Come on, we need to praise God for that. Because Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall absolutely accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. You have to catch this. God already knew this virus was coming, and yet he made you a promise. God is not going to pull back on that promise because a virus showed up. He already saw the virus. And let me tell you something. He made provisions for you in the midst of the virus. He made provisions for you to make sure that what he promised you shall still come to pass no matter what's happening in the world. So you ought to start praising God that God already knew what's going to happen and that his promises are absolutely still true for your life. Every promise God made shall come to pass. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. In late December, God told me to do a 21-day of fasting and prayer. And we did something wild and went online and posted it, and we got over 1,500 people from 66 different countries, which was amazing. In the first 3 or 4 days, what we were also doing was every day for 21 days, we were gathering here praying. Now, I don't know, but I think that we were praying and protecting our church and protecting this community and protecting people globally from what was about to happen, and we didn't even know it. But during our prayer, I remember up front, and I was praying right here, and Pastor Jen was here, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, go buy some cameras. You need to buy cameras by the end of the week, and you need to start live streaming immediately. And I was like, look here, God, you know how I feel about being in front of cameras, you know. I've been fighting this. You guys, I've been fighting it for 2 years. 2 years ago, I talked to Pastor Alex about buying a camera. 2 years ago, we picked out cameras, and I kept being afraid, and I kept saying, God, I can't. And the Holy Spirit was like, now is the time. You've got to start live streaming now. So I told Pastor Jen, I said, hey, Pastor Jen, I need you to hold me accountable to something. I got to buy some cameras by the end of this week because we're supposed to live stream. She goes back, she tells Pastor Alex. Pastor Alex says, well, wait, can you buy them on Amazon? Where your phone? Let's buy them right now. I said, I'm not ready. I need to the end of the week. By the end of the week, we purchased the cameras. The cameras came in, we started streaming. And I thought to myself, here we are 3 months later. What if we had not have been obedient to God? God knew this day was coming. See, we were ready to live stream, even though we had technical difficulties we have never, ever had with these same cameras this morning. But that's because I believe the enemy was like, oh, no, we're not going to let this get out. But we persisted and we prayed and God allowed this to go out. But what if we didn't have cameras available? What would our people do? How would they hear the word of God? But see, God knows. And let me tell you something. The things that God is speaking to you in your prayer life, he's telling you to do not because he don't like you, not because he don't want to mess with you. It is because he is preparing you for something that is coming down the line. And it may make absolutely no sense to you when you do what God tells you to do in that moment. But if you obey God, you will be set up like never before. Our church is not huge. Our church is small now, for now. But God had already put in my heart to post and to have a satellite campus. And I've been praying for years about a satellite campus. God, you know, where should you place us? Where should we be going? Where is our next campus? Who's going to lead this? It don't seem to make any sense. But God put it on my heart, you're going to have a satellite campus. And about 3 weeks ago, I was sitting over there, and during the service, God says, your second campus, your satellite campus, the next one you're starting is going to be an online church community. And God starts speaking to me, and he says, you need to start getting an online church pastor. You need to get someone who can minister to people online. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to keep praying about it. I didn't know that was going to happen 3 weeks later. But see, God will prepare you if you listen. Why? Because God already knows what's going to happen. So don't be afraid. That's the first thing God told me. The second thing God told me is he said, God said, God is still good, so don't give up hope. God already knows what's going to happen, and he is still good, so don't give up hope. In the midst of this global pandemic, we at the church must be reminded that Father God has not changed his characteristic. Father God has not stopped being a good God. Father God has not stopped protecting us. Father God has not stopped being the God who loves us and cares about us. God is still a good God. I know that's hard because people online and people in the church, they will say, if God is good, then why are we experiencing this pandemic? Let me tell you why. Because there is a demonic force called the devil who also comes. And the Bible says he doesn't come for except one thing, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anytime you see stealing, killing, and destruction, it is never coming from God. It is always coming from the enemy. So we got to stop blaming God for a global pandemic and start blaming an enemy who has been trying to steal, kill, and destroy us for forever. But what I also know is what the enemy meant for evil, God will use it and turn it around for your good. The enemy might say COVID-19, but God is saying, this is a time I'm going to do something miraculous and amazing for every one of my believers if you will trust me and obey me. God is not surprised, and God understands. He wants us to know he is still a good God. How do I know that? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, in our main scripture, he says this. Remember I told you he pulled it right from scripture. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You said, that don't sound like he good. And turn from their wicked ways. Let me tell you something. God says, y'all are messing up real bad. Now, what God has the power to do when you mess up is just kill you and destroy you. How do I know God is saying I'm good? He said, if you will humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, then I will do something for you. Even though you've been lying, even though you've been cheating, even though you haven't been obedient, even though you've placed other things before me, even though you've been messing up, if you'll just turn, I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking about nations. If you will just turn your heart back to me, turn from your wicked ways, here's what I'm going to do. I am such a good God that I will hear your prayers from heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. See, this is the goodness of God. The goodness of God is demonstrated when we turn our hearts back to him. So if you want to see God and see God show up to be a good God in your life, you are going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek his face. And then you got to turn from all that mess you've been doing and seek God. And God gives us a promise. I will hear from heaven, and I will heal you, and I will forgive you. See, this is why I know God is good, because God always gives you a way out. I don't care how deep you are in your mess. I don't care how messed up the nations have been. I don't care how much we've turned our back on God. God, as long as we are living and breathing and have a new day, God is giving you a way out. God says, I will turn all of that around. Isaiah 1:19 and 20 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are look, that is a promise. You will see goodness of the Lord in the land of the living if you willing and you obedient. See, the problem is we want to keep doing us and say, God, come bless this. And God is like, that's gone far enough. I'm going to use this situation to capture your attention, to ask you to turn your heart back to me. Because if you'll turn your heart back to me, then you'll start to see me move. Then you'll start to see healing. Then you'll start to see the goodness of God. This is why as a church, we've got to be praying, not just for ourselves, but for people worldwide. That people will turn their hearts back to God. This is a good time for revival. For those people who used to know God who walked away, and this is a great time for spiritual awakening. For people who never knew God to come to Jesus Christ. God wants to do something amazing. See, there was a time in the Bible in Joel chapter 2. I'm trying to finish. I only got through two things, but I'm going to try to finish it today. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. God had sent locusts on the land. They had devoured the land. But this is the goodness of the Lord, because they were in a famine. And God says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my servants, my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit. God says, look, I know there is disease and COVID-19 in the land. But if you will turn your heart to me, I will pour out my spirit on the nations. And I will, watch this, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day. And verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, that's the goodness of the Lord. Here's another reason I know God is good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Do you not know COVID-19 is going to work together for your good? I know you're like, I don't understand how this is going to work. I can't go to work. I can't eat. I can't, toilet paper. I can't, do any. God is like, it don't matter. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:31 says this. Come on, I'm just trying to prove to you he's good. What then shall we say to these things? What should we say to all this stuff that's happening right now? If God is for us, who can be against us? Watch this, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all things, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? See, there's no lack in the kingdom of God. God will provide. It might not be your favorite toilet paper, but it's a leaf outside. He made a tree drop some leaves so you can have something to wipe. I'm just saying, shall he not freely give you all things? You don't need toilet paper. Go outside. I got toilet paper, but freely giving you all things might be a leaf. Who shall bring a charge against God elect? Who is he who condemns? Watch this. Who shall separate us? Shall COVID-19 separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation, see how the Bible prepares you, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep in slaughter. But watch this, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God is still a good God, so keep your hope. Here's the third thing God is saying. God is calling us to turn back to him. So repent and pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This is a time for us to humble ourselves and admit that we have not made God our number one priority. Individually, as a nation, and globally. And our job is to seek his face and turn away from these things. And God says, I will hear from heaven. Look, you want to see God do a move? Get on your face and start praying. Because some of us are saying, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. You locked up in your house. Guess what? While you at home, pray. Kids, you're like, oh, my God, I'm a kid. I can't pray. Yes, you can. There is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives inside of you. Open your mouth, get on your knees, and start praying. Because I'm going to tell you something. None of these children want to experience this, but they're going through it anyway. The number of young people, my children play baseball, and I'm in a baseball moms group on Facebook. And what's interesting is guess what people are saying? Oh, my God, my baseball season's canceled. And the kids are all sad and upset. My baseball season's canceled. We're like, we're not sure if it's completely canceled, but they feel like it's over. And they feel like their world has been falling apart because baseball's over. You know what God said? Just pray. Seek my face. My youngest son was really mad because he's a freshman. And he was like, I've been waiting all my life to play high school baseball. I never got to play one game, and it's over. I said, it's not over. Keep praying. He was mad. He won't talk the first day. Then he woke up the next morning, and he said, Mom, I made a decision. I'm going to tell you something. This is a word for everybody. He said, I made a decision. He said, me being mad about this ain't going to change nothing. So I figured I better get a different attitude. And I said, son, that's amazing. I wish everybody could be like that. You being mad about the fact that you can't work or the fact that you can't or you got to work from home or that your kids are home or that you can't go to the movies or that basketball NBA got canceled or the NFL or the NHL is canceled, the NBA is, the fact that you're mad about that, poor ESPN. ESPN don't know what to run right now. I was like, they about to start showing esports in a minute, you know, the video gaming stuff. Watch this. They don't have a license, though. I'll just tell you that. I ain't going to tell you who got it, but that's another story. Watch this. Here's the problem. You want to see the problem? We are so concerned about what we are losing, and it's making us mad because I got to give up something. God is like, I've been trying to get you concerned about other people for a long time. So let's start praying. Let's not be a people without hope. Let's pray and intercede. And I'm going to get to my last point because I have a lot under this. But 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and heal our lands and forgive us of our sins. I have so much under forgiveness, but I'm going to move to my point 4 because I think this is the most important one and I'm running out of time. My last and final point that God spoke to me is God is saying, he's declaring that this is a time of great opportunity. So listen and do what God says. This is a time of great opportunity. So listen and do what God says. If you obey God during this time, this is a time of huge opportunity for advancing the kingdom of God and advancing yourself personally. 2 Chronicles 7:15, after we pray, says this, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. God says, if you turn back to me, look, there is no barrier between me and you. I'm watching and waiting for whatever you're asking me for because I want to deliver for you. This is great opportunity. You don't like it? Luke 6:46-49 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Well, check this. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Look, if you catch this, here's your opportunity. The floods are coming. Now, I'm not talking about a literal flood. I'm talking about issues and life and problems and things are coming. But if you will stay grounded, come to Jesus, hear what he says and does them, you will be like a house on a solid ground. It will not fall. And because of that, you're going to have an opportunity because you're going to be ahead of people whose houses have fallen because they weren't ready for this situation. But if you listen to God, I've been telling you, God will get you ready for what is yet to come because God is giving us opportunity to tell other people about Jesus, but in doing that, he's also given us another opportunity to advance the things that he's calling to happen in our lives as well. I want to share this with you as best I can without going too much into it. This is a time of resetting. What are you talking about, Pastor? And I'm going to close here. This is a reset time, which is why I say this is a time of great opportunity. Why do you say it's a reset? Well, the Bible says there is this year of Jubilee. Now, I can't prove that we're in it or not. I don't know. I can't figure all that stuff out. But this is what the Lord spoke to me. The year of Jubilee is this. First of all, every 7 years, God called for the land to rest. He called for the people to not work. He called for rest. And then every 7th year, which is 49th year, on the 50th 50th year, which is the year of Jubilee, he shut everything down. He said, I'm going to give you enough in the previous year to take care of you during the year when everything is shut down. You can't work. Watch this. You're supposed to be at home. This is biblical. You're supposed to be resting. You're supposed to be seeking God. You're supposed to be getting a closer relationship with God. Watch this. All debts were canceled during that time. Y'all ain't hearing me. Italy has just said, we're not even going to let you. Your mortgage, don't even worry about your mortgage payments this month. Come on, somebody. Debts are being canceled. Some of y'all don't want that to happen. I want my debt canceled. Somebody said, I heard that, and this might have been a rumor, so don't take this for word, but I heard that because of the financial crisis, people were checking their student loan balances, and their student loan balances went to zero yesterday, and they didn't know what happened. I was like, run with it, print it, and go. Debts will be canceled. You got to understand, this is a time of great opportunity. It was a time when those who were enslaved or in bondage, they would be let go. See, God is saying, I am going to call a reset. If you don't want to honor me, if you don't want to have a Sabbath, if you want to keep watching sports, watch this. Why do you think the sports have been canceled? Because it's a reset period. God is like, I got to cancel all that so that what you used to do on Sunday morning, come on somebody, and what used to take your time, when you used to say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the Bible. You ain't got nothing but time right now. You mad because you don't have daycare at home for your children and you're struggling to figure out how you going to eat? Look, let me tell you something. If you can't go to work, God will provide. Now, I don't know how. You got to pray and listen to ask him. I don't know what he's saying. But here's what I'm saying. The time, if you're working from home, the time that you would normally take to commute is your time that you can use to be with God. Watch this. If it ain't that, do something to better yourself. That's the time you need to work out. That's your time to cook. I ain't got time to cook. Now you got time to cook. I don't have time to sit down and play games with my kids. Now you got time to sit down and play games with your kids. I ain't got time to go on a date with my husband. You ain't got nothing but time. I'm going to tell you, 10 months from now, we're going to see a whole lot of coronavirus babies. Take that for what it will. Hopefully nobody understood that was over 12, under 12. Watch this. All of this is a reset period. Read the books you've been wanting to read. You've been wanting to start a business and you didn't know how or when you were going to have the time. Now is the time. You got nothing but time. Don't sit there and watch Netflix all day and let the enemy snatch your mind. Do what God is telling you to do. Get on your face and pray and seek God and say, God, where is the opportunity you're giving me during this season? Show me what you want me to do. Write that book. Write that song. Start that business. Care about somebody else. Start mending relationships that were messed up because, look, you ain't got to see them now. All you got to do is call them. Your job is to find out right now, God, what are you saying to me? If you are an athlete, this is your greatest time. Because this is time for you to start getting your stuff together and preparing, working out like never before, building muscle, work on your craft. If you are doing something in your job and you want to advance, this is the time for you to study and learn and grow. This is a time like never before when the world is shutting down so that we can come back to Jesus Christ. And the people of God, if you get this word, you will be ahead of other people. Y'all ain't hearing me. Who aren't doing it. You'll be ahead of folks who so scared they doing nothing but sitting home crippled with fear watching TV while you sitting there reading books, getting better, getting smarter, developing content, developing songs, developing your craft, developing products, getting ready to go out and do the very thing that God called you to do. I'm telling you, this is a reset for the people of God. So what do I want you to do? I'm going to say this. I'm going to prove it by scripture. Job 42:10. Now, it wasn't a national pandemic, but to Job, it was a pandemic. Because Job lost everything. Watch this. And while Job had lost everything, Job finally, when he said, I'm going to start praying for other people, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Now check this. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This is a time of opportunity, people. Do you know what the Bible says in Genesis 26? I'm trying to close, Jesus. I got to go. Here we go. I got to say this. I'm going to close this. Genesis 26, there was a famine. It's not on your sheet, but I'm going to tell you. There was a famine in the land. Well, thanks. She's good. There was a famine in the land because the first famine that had already happened. And God spoke and he said, dwell in the land. Don't you leave. In other words, do what I've been telling you to do all along. Don't get off track. Do what I say. Don't go down to Egypt. I know you want to leave and start doing things the way the world is doing it right now, but don't start doing what the world is doing. You do what I tell you to do, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, and I will give you all these land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your father. Go to verse 15. So Isaac, watch what he says. He dwelt in the land, and 18. Where is it, Jen? Anyway, what happened was Isaac sowed in that land. 12. Isaac sowed in that land. And when he sowed in the land, he reaped, y'all not hearing this opportunity, in the same year, 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. I am not tripping on COVID-19. I'm getting excited about the opportunity because as I sow, God promises that in the same year, there's going to be a harvest back. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says in verse 13, not only was he prosperous in that year, but he became very prosperous. He became very prosperous. He became very prosperous. This is a time of opportunity like never before. Don't you put your head down and start crying and being mad and in fear. Oh, no. My time at home is a time to be with God so I can hear what he's saying, so I know what he's calling me to do, so that I can sow and I can become very prosperous, just like he always promised me. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. There is something I'm going to ask you to do. This week, you need to be spending time with God every day. And don't tell me you ain't got time. Ain't nothing on TV that ain't already been played before or that you can't record and watch later. Because some of y'all are like, I can't miss my live sports. Ain't no live sports. I need to know before everybody else. Ain't nothing that's going to come on. You need to know before everybody else. Kids, you're at home. Don't you sit there and get on YouTube and play video games all day. Advance yourself. Study. Pray. Learn to read your Bible. Parents, if you don't do anything else, get your kids together during this time and begin to pray with them. Begin to read the Word. All that time you said you didn't have time to have family Bible study, you ain't got nothing but time to do family Bible study. Pull them together. And don't be afraid to ask them, what do you think God's saying right now? Let me tell you something. These kids in this church, they know Jesus. And the Holy Spirit lives in them. And they will speak to you and speak a word that will change your life. Let them talk. This is the one time you ain't got to worry about their peers influencing them. Talk to them. Spend time with them. Pray. Here's what I'm asking us to do. For the next 7 days, I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live every day on our website, or on our Facebook, our Rohi Facebook page and our 21 Days of Prayer page. So if you're not already a part of our Rohi Christian Church Facebook group, I encourage you to be a follower of that. We're going to be praying for what God is saying to people nationwide. We're going to be praying against this epidemic and this pandemic nationwide and worldwide. And then next Sunday, I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider this over the next week. Next Sunday marks 21 days before Easter. And what I believe God is saying is that he's calling us to a time of fasting and prayer. And so I'm asking you to do a 21. I know this is Lent, and some of you may be in a 40-day fast. If you're in a 40-day fast, this coincides, great. But we're going to do 21 days. I'm praying that the Lord will allow me. If I can, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got nothing but time, but I'm going to try to get a second book out for, this will be my third book. I'm going to try to get another book out for you for a download as a devotional during those 21 days. We're going to be praying for revival, and we're going to be praying for spiritual awakening for 21 days, that God will use this time with COVID-19 to bring about a revival and a spiritual awakening globally. This is the greatest opportunity we've ever had. So if you'd like to join that, then you can join us on our Rohi Church 21 Days of Fasting and Prayer group, or on our Facebook group, Rohe Christian Church. I'll be sending out an email link. If you're part of the church, you'll all get it. It'll tell you how to get involved, how to sign up. And hopefully by Wednesday, if I can get the, or Thursday, if I can get the book done, I will give you a free download as well, like we did last time, so you can be joining us in prayer. I want us to be praying together about some things. We're going to attack some sins that exist. We're going to go after, we're going to do exactly what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, which we're going to humble ourselves by fasting. We're going to pray. We're going to seek his face. We're going to turn from our wicked ways, and God will bring healing. For the next 7 days, I'll be praying. But then starting next Sunday, we'll start a 21-day fast. So please be in prayer about what God may be calling you to do. Join us. I'm going to tell you something, guys. God did something in the last one. God began a movement in the last one. We're going to advertise this again, and I'm believing, I'm going to ask God for 10,000 people for our prayer group worldwide. And so I want you to join me in believing God over the next 7 days, that we can get moved from 1,500 to 10,000 people in this next prayer group, because I believe God really wants to touch people, and he really wants to do something. Can you imagine if we could get 10,000 people worldwide praying? What do you think God will do? You know, Abraham said, God, if you could just not destroy the earth for one, for 50 or 100, what if we can get 10,000 righteous folks praying worldwide? Because this is the greatest opportunity that exists for the body of Christ. Never before in history. So we're not going to do an altar call because of social distancing. And I know people online, if you have prayer requests online, could you just type your prayer request in? Let us know how we can pray for you. And then what we'll do is we'll be praying for you after the service. If you're watching this on demand, because this will be available for you later, you can still type in your prayer requests. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to be seeking God. If you have needs or concerns during this time, you know, let us know. We want to pray about those. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or if you're online and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, or maybe you have and you've kind of made some compromises, slipped, walked away from God, now is your chance to turn your heart back to him. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, if you're here, to just simply lift your hand in the air. We want to pray for you. And if you're online, just say, I want Jesus. All you got to do is type, I want Jesus. And we'll know. If there's anybody here that wants to ask Jesus to be Lord of their life, or ask Jesus, say, I want to come back to you, just lift your hands in the air. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for those people, hallelujah, with their hands lifted. We're going to pray for those online that are saying, I want Jesus. I see a couple hands up in the room. Would y'all do me a favor? Can y'all pray with them so they're not by themselves? So I'm going to ask you to just repeat a prayer, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. So I'm going to ask you to just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner in need of a Savior. God, take my fear and turn it into faith. God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sin. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me. Help me. Help me to hear your voice. Speak to me in Jesus' name. Amen. And just like that, come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise. If you prayed that prayer online, go ahead and let us know and just say, I prayed that prayer. We're excited for you. Also, I want to encourage you, if you're here, to go home, listen to the Lord, pray, spend time with him. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you, but we won't touch you as we pray for you. Not because we don't love you, but we want to practice social distancing. And so what we're going to ask you to do is just to kind of stand 3 or 4 feet away from our leaders and ask them for prayer. After service, I'm going to ask you not to hug each other, elbow bump, toe taps. Come on, Jewel, let's just demonstrate toe taps. You ain't got no shoes on. Well, come on. Come on, let's demonstrate toe taps for him. She got to put her shoes on to demonstrate. Should I get somebody who got shoes on already? Come on. Oh, no, I'm not touching your hands. See, you tried to trick me. All right, so you can greet people like this. Good to see you. Or this. The kid play. Or you can simply do one of these. either of those, but I do encourage you to say hello to each other. God bless you. If you need prayer, our prayer team is going to come up, but please practice social distancing. Give them some space and share with them how you can pray. I want to say praise the Lord. We prayed for Alex to come back early. We prayed that he would get here safely, and he's here. So we've been praying for you this morning. Praise the Lord. All right, God bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forevermore. May your fear be dispelled and gone about anything that's happened. And may you see this whole season with great opportunity and hope. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.